increasing our level of enthusiasm. The fit challenge. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:17. As Paul talks about new life in Christ, he instructs believers in the church to clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, patience. Bear one another, forgive one another, and may the peace of Christ rule your heart. Friends, there is much to be thankful for. 9 months and a few days have passed since I was assigned as your new resident bishop. Raiselda and I have come to live, to lead, to pray, to worship with you. And we will continue to come into your space, which is God's space, to celebrate with you and to challenge us to rise to our kingdom potential. Dr. Charles Smith, our conference treasurer and statistician, has shared much of the data. But there is more to be thankful for. 424 churches reporting one or more profession of faith. That is the reason we come to annual conference, to see how well we are doing in saving souls and being accountable one for another. 525 churches baptize infants, children, and adults. And on yesterday evening, we as an annual conference celebrated the baptism of infants and children here in worship. 514 volunteer and mission teams, an over 220% increase over the previous year, a 45% increase in the number of individuals who gave time in direct service following the tornadoes and flooding of last summer. God is good. There's been an increase in weekday ministries, and that is something that should not go unnoticed. Friends, Reverend Karen Duncan and Dr. Art McClanahan and others can share many more stories of mission and ministry engagement. Bev Nolte can chronicle our 20-year Iowa-Nigeria partnership that we celebrate at this year's annual conference. Becky Woods and those pastors and laity who have been working since day one of the flooding and tornadoes of last summer can give an account of our current reality and our present opportunities. Your bishop wants to do three things in this Episcopal address. Number one, ask some questions. Number two, extend an invitation. And number three, give encouragement. Here are the questions. Are you ready? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your bodies? Are you connected with the true vine, Jesus, the Christ, who frees us to worship and witness and live in ways that balance our mission to make disciples of Jesus, transform the world, and honor the gift of Sabbath? Somebody say Sabbath, please. Somehow we have forgotten Sabbath. I realize that talking about self-care does not change reality. Just as talking about hospitality does not make it radical or real. We've got to do more than just talk about self-care and talk about radical hospitality. Our words matter most when they are connected to our willingness to hold each other accountable and for our willingness to enthusiastically give our best in the name of the one who gave his all. Bishop, will you tell us where your vision for the Fit Challenge came from? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. After many weeks and months of listening and praying and visiting every district of the Iowa Annual Conference, after hearing over and over again, Ed, even before I arrived, what is your vision for the annual conference? What is your vision for our rural congregations? What is your vision for our alignment under our new configuration? God revealed to me that when we are at our best, we give our best. Let me say that again. When we are at our best, we give our best. Pastors who carefully keep their own spiritual wells replenished, pastors who keep their own wells replenished, who take Sabbath, who walk, who run, who bowl, who fly fish, who farm, who travel, who camp, who retreat, who ride bicycles or motorcycles, are better able to join others in productive ministry and equip the saints for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Pastors who find time to play with their children or their grandchildren or adopt other children to dance and play with are in better shape to be in ministry and lead others. Likewise for our laity, as we take time to replenish our spiritual wells, take time for Sabbath, take time to take care of the physical temples that God has given us, we are in much better position to equip all of the saints of God for the ministry of Jesus Christ. The FIT Challenge, F-I-T, FIT, focus. I'm praying that you will join me in focusing on a few things that matter most, and a willingness to attempt great things for God, even as we expect great things from God. Self-care is important, and you'll hear me saying it over and over again, and Kay Tridle and Mary Fraser and dozens of other voices, as we repeat it and we find ways to hold ourselves accountable, one for another, as we make self-care a primary goal, not only a primary goal, but a core value of the Iowa Annual Conference. Self-care is important as we honor the gift of life. Walking clubs. How many of you are a member of a walking club? My wife and I, we started a walking club. It's just called You and Me, Babe. So once a week, we go down to the lake, or we go down to, we go to the, walk to the post office, which is about 2.5 miles round trip, we said, well, we don't know a lot of folks in our neighborhood yet in Norwalk, so we started a walking club, just the two of us. Some of you are runners. I know you're runners. You've told me that. And many of you probably run alone, and I'm asking you to find someone else that you can run with and encourage. It doesn't take an act of Congress, Mary. It doesn't take an act of the annual conference, the general conference, for us to begin to have walking clubs and prayer groups and running clubs and bicycle groups and motorcycle Methodists. We need more persons to be willing to invite others. Focus not on our problems, as we often do, but let's focus on the problem solver, Jesus Christ. Focus on our commitment to long-term recovery following the flooding and disasters of last summer. Focus on living the United Methodist way based on scriptural and social holiness. Focus on what we have as opposed to what we do not have. Let's come to next year's annual conference in better spiritual and physical shape. I wish I can get an applause for that one. At next year's annual conference, my appointive cabinet, my ministry cabinet, my administrative cabinet, we are going to be in better physical shape and better spiritual shape than we are right now. I want everybody that's part of the ministry cabinet to stand. Now, don't evaluate us by looking at us like that. I just wanted you to connect faces. Everybody has a self-care plan that's on the ministry cabinet, administrative cabinet. We all have self-care plans. The bishop has a self-care plan. And I know just putting words on paper doesn't make it different. But now we have to hold each other accountable. And I'm going to be spreading this to the conference center and asking the districts to do that through your districts as well. Some of you belong to lectionary Bible study groups. How many of you belong to lectionary Bible study groups? Or prayer accountability groups? That's part of your self-care plan. Amen. How many of you have participated in the School for Lay Ministry? Where are you? Amen. Praise God. That's part of your accountability. Our commitment to living the United Methodist way must not just begin with our theology and our hymnody, but it must translate into ways in which we hold each other accountable and we are unapologetic about encouraging one another. The fit challenge means that we need to focus, but we also need to invest. Friends, we don't have forever to save souls and to transform the world. We can't afford to sit this life out. And I never accept the excuse, as people say, I'm too old or I am too young. Because whenever you read the scriptures, you keep finding how God upsets that and does not accept that excuse. And says, never tell people to despise your youth. Or we see how some folks didn't do much of anything until they were at least 400 years old. So we cannot use the excuse that we're too young or that we're too old in order for us to be about the business of saving souls for the transformation of the world. I am encouraged. I am encouraged by an 11% increase in youth participation. I was excited after I went to the 2009 youth strike. In fact, I think I let Eric Guy know that I'm inviting myself back to next year's, whether they invite me or not. And I've already received an invitation. We don't have forever, friends, to save souls and transform the world. So when we have a modest increase in youth participation, we ought to praise God for that. When we have a modest increase in weekday ministries throughout the annual conference, we ought to praise God for that. We have right now, friends, in this moment in history, an opportunity to join the United Methodist Church in providing leadership in starting 650 new congregations by 2012. I don't know where Scott Hibben is. I hope he's in the house. But we're about the business. I'm going to share something with you, and I don't want you to share it outside of this room. I know for a fact that people, as they are planning the general church to start 650 new congregations. Where's Scott Hibben? I just need him to wave just to stand with me and just be supportive while I'm speaking right now. Scott, you got my back. The general church said that we would start 650 new congregations by 2012. You know, there's some people who they've looked at a map of the United States and they probably said, well, we aren't expecting much from Iowa. The population demographics don't show the great growth as in the desert southwest or in the southeast and so forth. But I'm here to tell you, friends, that we have a part to play in starting new congregations, new ministries throughout the state of Iowa, new configurations. Our churches need to be revitalized and we can do it. And we don't need permission from anybody but God and the Holy Spirit to see that it is done. As soon as we leave annual conference, new outreach efforts at strengthening and revitalizing our existing congregations needs to ramp up a bit. And that puts pressure on the bishop and all of us, lay and clergy. Too many churches have given conflict top billing and honoring the wishes of those longtime members while neglecting the hunger of seekers and new members who want to know Jesus Christ in ways that anchor them amidst the storms of life. Enough of it. Enough of it. I'm calling on Norma Morrison and all of the lay leadership of the Iowa Annual Conference to partner with your bishop and the clergy of the Iowa Annual Conference that we might minimize the impact that conflict has on so many of our congregations and maximize the impact that lifting the name of Jesus Christ has on the transformation of the world. Let me hurry up and get through. I'm getting excited myself up here. Focus, invest, and tell the story. There's a great Methodist hymn, "I love to tell the story." Who knows that? "I love to tell the story." Of Jesus and His love, I love to tell the story. With I know it is true, it satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His. We've got to tell the stories of Jesus. Paul says, "God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." I don't think we have a shortage of people or resources or things to do. United Methodists are too often lacking in joy and enthusiasm. Leonard Sweet, quoting Bono, says, "Religion is what is left when the Spirit has left the building." Let that marinate for a while. Religion is what is left when the Spirit has left the building. The Holy Spirit is what gives life to radical hospitality. I learned something at the most recent School for Ministry. Missional communities are rooted in love for Jesus and less concerned with attracting people to the church and more enthusiastic about being the church that lives in the world. It does not appear what we shall be, the Iowa Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church, but God is ready to do whatever the Holy Spirit will allow us to do, that we might bring persons to Christ and that we ourselves might grow in Christ as we worship in spirit and in truth. I'm not interested in people telling me what is impossible. In 1876, a Western Union memo said, "The telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. This device is inherently of no value at all." I'm just quoting history. In 1899... Charles H. Duell, who was at the time the commissioner of the U.S. Patents Office, said, "Everything that can be invented has already been invented." 1899. In 1927, you might want to write this down, preachers. Everybody's not here, so you can use this again. In 1927, H.M. Warner of Warner Brothers asked the question, "Who in the world wants to hear actors talk?" In 1943, before a lot of you, before most of all of our pages were born, in 1943, listen to this Young folks, the chairman of IBM announced there could not possibly be more than 5 people in the world who would want to own a computer. Too often I hear people saying that the United Methodist Church is losing members and that we are losing influence and we are losing young people. We focus on too many things, they argue. Well, I don't agree. The Council of Bishops and the General Conference affirmed 4 focus areas at the 2008 General Conference that the United Methodist Church would live into as we live the United Methodist way from 2008 to 2012. Number 1, we would focus on developing principled Christian leaders. You know, Bob, I believe that's part of our mission statement at the Iowa Annual Conference, developing principled Christian leaders. So we're already doing that. Number 2, that United Methodists would create new churches and renew existing congregations. Well, we've already been talking about that for several years and investing in the training of lay and clergy that we might renew existing congregations and create new places of ministry. Number 3, eradicating poverty and embracing the poor. Well, I would think that many of our Matthew 25 ministries and many of our missional funding initiatives, I would think that our partnership with Nigeria and many of our other in-gathering initiatives are about eradicating poverty and embracing those persons who are in need. And number 4, improving global health.
Bishop! I don't think you could go any further.
Well, honey, I know you're my wife, but you don't want... I have never heard of a bishop being interrupted in the middle of an Episcopal address.
Bishop.
I mean, this could be in news scope. Brian, this could get out in news scope or something. I don't think there's ever been a time when a bishop has been interrupted in the middle of an Episcopal address. But is there?
You would not be fit without prayer clothing.
But thank you. The Fit Challenge is a call to focus our commitment in the Iowa Annual Conference on long-term recovery, new opportunities with a new sense of urgency for reaching new people, embracing innovation as we do ministry in new places and some of the same places we've been doing ministry for hundreds of years. Evangelism without apology. Self-care with accountability. Friends, I want you to help me to raise $2 million starting today. Is the time right? Is the time ripe for buying damaged homes and rebuilding them to provide affordable housing in flood-ravaged communities? We can't wait for other folks to come up with all the ideas and to do the right thing. It's amazing how much we could do if we didn't have to wait for the federal government, even county governments, to engage in some of our communities that have been devastated by flooding, and that we could allow our disaster committee to make some initiatives, and as bishop and as an annual conference, we could say we've got some funding over and above what UMCOR can give that can support some new creative ways in which we can get about the business of providing housing for people who have been displaced and people have seemed to forget about them because it's no longer in the news. I need you to help me raise $2 million starting today. There is a need. There is a need for pastors to be trained to not only start new churches, but to revitalize ministries where they are located. There's a need for us to train teams of clergy and laity to help healthy churches start satellite worship and plant new congregations. I would love to, as a bishop, to be able to say to some of our congregations who are strong, who are doing well, and have an opportunity to start satellite places and other ministries, you don't have to worry about taking more money out of your budget. We will help you and give you a significant grant if you're willing to help start a new satellite place, a new worship place, you don't have to stop paying your apportionments, or you don't have to be penalized because you're growing. I want us to be able to do that, and we have an opportunity now in partnership with the General Church as well. Let's support creative ministries that bring hope to our rural communities and our city neighborhoods. Some people have found a way to do ministry, and they're just not in the headlines. When I fly in and out of Des Moines, when I drive throughout the Iowa Annual Conference, I see signs of our great colleges and universities. You can hardly go anywhere without seeing a billboard about our colleges and universities, and that's a good thing. I'm reminded that I don't have U.S. cellular telephone. You know, if you drive around Iowa, they've got some beautiful billboards. U.S. cellular. Has anybody seen those U.S. cellular billboards? They've done an effective job of marketing their particular cell phone. I see signs that remind me that Pioneer Seeds is a great provider for our farming industry. That Principal Financial is a great financial insurance and financial conglomerate. But I'm unapologetically Christian and unashamedly United Methodist. And I shared with Art McClanahan in the communications office, we need to have more signs of hope so that when people come into our airports and come into our communities, they realize that the United Methodist Church are alive and well, and we want people to know about Jesus Christ. I've only been here less than a year, but I've flown in and out of Iowa over a dozen times. And whenever I leave, I'm reminded of the great colleges we have and the great hospitals we have. And I said, if 2 million people, nearly 2 million people fly in and out of Des Moines alone, whenever they come in and out of that airport, they need to know that United Methodists are in the state of Iowa. Friends, above all else, I want us to pray. My wife, Reselda, came forth and brought forth a prayer shawl that was given to us as we began our time here in Iowa. And if you ever come to our home, this prayer shawl is in the living room. And before we left for annual conference, we had a time of prayer in which we lifted the annual conference in prayer. You don't need a 1,000-member congregation. You don't even need a 100-member congregation to have a ministry that touches 100 people or 1,000 people if you're about the business of prayer. Above all, I want us to pray. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Friends, it's not a magical prayer shawl that I have on. There's nothing magical about this. But I can tell you right now that prayer works. That prayer not only changes things, it changes those who are willing to submit themselves before the Holy Spirit. Some time ago, someone was criticizing the church. And they framed their comments. You've heard this before. They framed their comments. Oh, well, you know, Bishop, I'm just being the devil's advocate. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Well, I'm just playing the devil's advocate. Well, the devil doesn't need an advocate. As my wife is prone to say, if you're going to be an advocate, be a child advocate. Be an advocate for hospitality. Be a senior advocate. Be an advocate for those who are hungry and homeless. If you're going to be an advocate, don't be the devil's advocate. Be an advocate for church renewal in the Iowa Annual Conference. Be an advocate for nothing but nets, and allow us this summer alone to change reality in Sierra Leone. Did you know we could save 10,000 lives if every annual conference this summer alone would help nothing but nets blanket the country of Sierra Leone with mosquito-treated nets? If you're going to be an advocate for women at the well. Be an advocate for those who are weary and heavy laden. Be an advocate for the school for lay ministry. Be an advocate for disciple Bible study. Be an advocate for justice and mercy in our Matthew 25 ministries. Be an advocate for the summer games ministry that touches the lives and causes people to answer the call to ministry. Be an advocate for mom's ministry in the Southeast District where people say that, well, we don't have children, and they've taken a ministry, and they take Sunday school and vacation Bible school to where the children are. If we're going to be an advocate in the name of Jesus Christ without apology. Friends, I want you to join the Fit Challenge. I left before annual conference and went through all the letters, and there were, you know, a number of letters of complaint and concern and so forth and so on. They don't like what the bishop said about this or didn't say about that, but stuck in the middle of those letters was a card from one of our congregations. And the card said, "Bishop, we don't want anything from you. We're just sending you this card to let you know that we are praying for you right now." And so I straightened up my desk. You know, I have three piles in my desk. The pile that I know what it is, the pile that I'm going to get to it, and the pile that is nothing I can do about it, so I just better pray. But right in the middle of my desk, I left that card that would remind me that somebody is praying not only for your bishop, but for your annual conference. I don't need more people to tell me what to do. I need people to stand with me. If you're willing to stand with me and join the Fit Challenge today, where are those folks with T-shirts on? Fit Challenge T-shirts. Stand up if you got a Fit Challenge T-shirt on. Praise the Lord. If you're willing to join the Fit Challenge and start walking, if you're willing to join the Fit Challenge and start a running club, if you're willing to join the Fit Challenge and be an advocate for justice and mercy, if you're willing to join the Fit Challenge and help me raise $2 million that we might build some new homes, start some new ministries, and stop waiting for somebody else to do it for us, stand up and give God a hand clap. I want you to do something for me. I want you to do something for me. I'm a lifelong Methodist. I'm a lifelong Methodist. I'm not prone to excitement, but some things do get me excited. If you were born in the month of January, I just want you to wave your hand. If you were born in the month of February, I just want you to wave your hand. If you were born in the month of March and you are physically able, I just want you to jump up just a little bit. If you're born in the month of April, I just want you to wave both hands. If you were born in the month of May, I just want you to shout hallelujah. If you were born in the month of June, I want you to show up at annual conference. Here I am. If you're born in the month of July, I just want you to say praise the Lord. If you were born in the month of August, I just want you to say hallelujah. If you were born in the month of September, I want you to say thank you, Jesus. If you were born in the month of October, I want you to say, it's okay, folks. If you were born in the month of November, I want you to say, I hope this ends soon. If you were born in the month of December, I want you to say, Jesus is born. Jesus died. But he rose on Easter. Why don't you join the Fit Challenge? If you're standing right now, that means you've already signed up for the Fit Challenge. Praise God. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.